We have heard the good news this morning from the Gospel of Mark at the beginning of our service. I invite you to hear the good news as Luke tells us in his Gospel. We're reading chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the good news of this Easter Sunday morning. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. But in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. Well, a Sunday school teacher asked her 5-year-old students about the meaning of Easter, and she said, "Children, do you know why we celebrate Easter?" Little girl raised her hand, and the teacher said, "Yes, Jenny." She said, "Is Easter when we put on costumes and we go trick-or-treating to get candy?" "No, Jenny," the teacher said, that's Halloween." "Does anybody else know what Easter is?" And a little boy shouted out, "That's it, the day that we shoot off fireworks, right?" "No," said the teacher, that's Independence Day. "Does anybody else know?" Shy little girl at the back of the room said, "Easter is when Jesus died." "Yes," the teacher said, "that's right, Sally. And do you remember what happened to Jesus to make Easter so special?" "Well, he died and he was buried. And every Easter he comes out, and if he sees his shadow..." It's Easter Sunday morning. This past week we've experienced, of sorts, a resurrection. The fire at the Cathedral of Notre Dame symbolically has represented for us destruction, almost death. That which was beautiful, glorious, representing awe and majesty, caught fire and was almost destroyed. But it did not collapse. It will, of course, never be the same. It will take years to repair and rebuild. But money is pouring in. People are sacrificing to rebuild. It will be restored. In this life, there is death, but there is also resurrection. We gather this morning to celebrate on a glorious, joy-filled Easter Sunday. Today is the high point of the year for us as Christians. It is the most important day for our faith. We have journeyed in the Lenten season, and especially this last week, through some difficult times: betrayal, darkness, crucifixion, death. But this morning, we gather to proclaim the greatest news the world has ever heard. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today we're decked out in our very best. We gather with family and friends to celebrate. Death has been defeated. We have been forgiven. What a wonderful, glorious day. Well, actually, it's a wonderful, glorious day until we read our text. I've been surprised once again as I reread and reread this Easter story. I'm not surprised by the ending. We know what happens. The grave is empty. But here's what surprises me. The total and complete lack of celebration and joy. Shouldn't the women have been overjoyed when they got to the tomb and found it empty? Shouldn't the disciples have been jumping and full of enthusiasm and excitement when they heard from the women, Jesus' body is not in the tomb? I imagine it should have looked like the national championship team winning the national championship. Confetti and hugs and tears and excitement and enthusiasm. You know what it should have looked like? It should have looked like the 18th green of the Masters last week when Tigers made that final putt and everyone erupted with celebration and joy. That's what it should have looked like, right? But the Bible said it was very different. Listen to verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. That's Luke. Mark is even stronger in his words. Listen to what he says. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Can you believe it? It's Easter Sunday morning. Jesus is alive. It's time to celebrate and rejoice. But the Bible says the women did not rejoice at all. They are afraid. Well, surely the disciples celebrated, right? No. When the women came to them, the women got the nerve to go to the disciples and tell them what happened. Verse 11 says, the disciples did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Think about that. The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years. They heard him say time and time and time again, he was going to die and he would be resurrected. And when it actually happened, they said, it seems like nonsense. Well, surely Peter would celebrate, right? I mean, he was closest of all to Jesus. Wouldn't he know and celebrate? No. Remember what the verse says that happened to Peter, verse 12. Peter went to the tomb, saw the strips of cloth lying there, and then listen to this. Peter went away wondering to himself what had happened. What is going on here? The women are frightened. The disciples don't believe. And Peter is walking around confused and bewildered. And guess what? The passage ends. The next verse tells us about two men on the road to Emmaus. Where's the celebration? Where's the joy? Where are the shouts of alleluia from the week before? Where's the enthusiastic proclamation? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Where is all the pageantry? After all, Jesus is not dead. He is alive. But his followers are frightened and confused. There's not a lot of celebration on this first Easter Sunday. Now, you know what? We might expect that from Jesus' opponents, right? Think about the religious leaders. Jesus, for years, had caused them problems and difficulties. He challenged their faith. He threatened their authority. He was a constant thorn in their side. So when Jesus dies on the cross, the religious leaders believe their problems died with him. But if Jesus was alive, if Jesus had actually come back from the dead somehow, their problems were just beginning. Can't you imagine when they heard that the tomb was empty, that shivers went up and down the spine of the religious leaders? But why would the disciples, why would the women, why would the early followers of Jesus be frightened and confused? I wonder, is it possible that the women and the disciples and even Peter realized that if Jesus was indeed alive, their problems were just beginning to? Now, I know that sounds strange, especially for Easter Sunday, but think with me about this for a moment. Could it be that these faithful followers were beginning to grasp the reality of what Jesus had been teaching them for 3 years? Maybe they were beginning to understand what the resurrection of Jesus really meant. For here's the reality. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most frightening good news any of us could ever hear. Now, why would I say that? How is the resurrection of Jesus frightening good news? Well, consider this. Jesus lying in a tomb is a threat to no one. If Jesus' body is lying in a tomb, then there's no threat to anyone. The women went to the tomb that morning to embalm a dead body. The disciples were hiding out, trying to figure out what they were going to do with their life now. But here's the reality. When Jesus is dead and his body is lying in a tomb, all they have is memories. No one to hold them accountable. No one to call them to commitment. No demand for sacrifice of their life. Just memories and reflection. But if Jesus were really alive, well, what did that reality mean for the early disciples? If Jesus was dead, the disciples could go back to their old lives. They could go back to their villages. They could get back on the fishing boats. They could do whatever they wanted to do. But if Jesus is alive, well, as one minister said, all heaven might break loose. You see, if Jesus is alive, then all the stuff he's been teaching them for 3 years, they might actually have to start doing. If he's alive, they have to love not only their neighbors, but now they also have to love their enemies. If Jesus is alive, then they have to go the extra mile when someone asks them to go an extra mile. If Jesus is alive, they have to give someone not only their coat, but also their shirt. If Jesus is alive, they might actually have to intervene and speak out if they see the poor and needy being mistreated. In other words, if Jesus is alive, they will actually have to start putting into practice all the stuff that he taught them. That had to be a frightening thought for those early followers. And you know what? If we're honest, it's a frightening thought for us too. You know, the truth is we all come to church on Easter Sunday for different reasons. Every one of us are here for different reasons this morning. For some, it's our pattern, it's our weekly habit, behavior. Others come this morning for the incredible music and the wonderful worship celebration. Some of you are here visiting with family or friends. Some of you come here hoping to find a sense of meaning and purpose that is missing in life. Some of you, I know, were forced to come here this morning. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if that's the case for you. Others are here because that's what you do on Easter. You go to church, you go to eat a big meal, you hunt for a few Easter eggs and pig out on chocolate candy the rest of the day. But whatever the reason you are here this morning, we all come expecting to celebrate and rejoice on this glorious, joy-filled Easter Sunday morning. Why? Because Jesus helps us make sense of this crazy, crazy world. You know, I read that several years ago, a father was trying to read a magazine, But his little daughter, Vanessa, kept wanting his attention. She kept asking him questions, and she kept poking him, and she kept trying to get him to play with her and spend some time with her. Well, finally, the father tore a page out of his magazine on which was printed a picture of the world, and he tore this page into several different pieces, and then he gave it to his little daughter, Vanessa, and he said, "Now listen, I want you to go into this other room and put the world back together, and when you get it together, then come back and show me." She left, and he took a big breath and thought, well, that's going to take her a while to do. But after just a few minutes, his little daughter Vanessa came back, and she handed him the map, all correctly put back together. And the father was surprised, and he said, "How in the world did you get this world, this earth, back together so quickly?" And she said, "Oh, Dad, that's easy. On the other side of the page was a picture of Jesus. And when I got Jesus in the right place, the world came out the way it was supposed to be." That's why you're here this morning, right? When we get Jesus in the right place, the world makes sense to us. The world has purpose and meaning, and we get it and we understand it. That's why we're here. But listen, here's the corresponding reality. This morning we come face to face with the truth that Jesus is alive. And when we realize that, we might actually experience the same kind of fear that the early followers did. You see, this gospel that Jesus proclaimed, it is a dangerous, risky gospel. This truth to which Jesus called us, he expects us to roll up our sleeves and to get our hands dirty and serving others. This gospel to which he calls us demands service and sacrifice and meaning on our part. This gospel to which he calls us is costly and demanding. One person said it this way: if we really understood the resurrection, would any of us dare to come to church, especially on Easter? You see, it is no wonder that the early followers of Jesus were terrified and confused when they found out Jesus is not dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed, because they knew it would cost them. In 1776, Thomas Paine wrote these words. He said, "What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. 'Tis dearness only that gives value, and heaven knows how to put a price upon its goods." When we commit to this resurrected Christ, we are making a frightening, costly commitment. You know, it's somewhat like those brave individuals who signed the Declaration of Independence, putting their name on a document that would cost them dearly. Do you know what happened to the 56 individuals who signed the Declaration of Independence? Some of them suffered tremendously. 5 were captured by the British after they signed the document, and they were tortured before they died. 9 of them died in war, fighting for the very independence to which they had signed their name. 12 additional signers had their homes sacked and looted and burned. 2 lost children in the war effort. 1 had 2 sons who were captured and died. The price of commitment was extraordinarily high for those brave individuals. And so it was with the early disciples. And so it is with us. The price of real commitment is always costly. Years ago, a house church in the former Soviet Union received a copy of the Gospel of Luke. It was the only sacred scripture these Christians had ever seen. They were so excited about it, they divided this gospel into sections and distributed among their members, and each took one section home, and their task was to read it and memorize it throughout the week. And the next Lord's Day on Sunday, they would come back and they would redistribute the copies until everyone had had the entire gospel and was able to memorize it and put it to use in their life. Well, on Sunday, these believers began arriving inconspicuously to this small house where they gathered for worship. They didn't want to arouse the suspicions of the KGB informers who were all around. But by dusk that evening, they were all safely inside. Windows were closed, the doors were locked, and finally, they were able to begin their worship service by singing a hymn very quietly. But suddenly, as they sang, the door opened, and in walked two soldiers with loaded automatic weapons. One of the soldiers shouted, "Everyone up against the wall." Well, as they moved to the walls, many of the adults began crying. Parents were trembling as they tried to reassure their children, but were petrified as to what was happening. One of the soldiers walked to the wall, and he took down a small framed picture of Jesus. It was a prized possession of this small group of Christians, and the soldier threw it on the floor with the picture facing up. And the other soldier then commanded, "Now renounce your faith or face the consequences of your belief. One by one, you are to walk by this picture and to spit on the face of Jesus. If you do not, you will surely pay." Slowly, each person began to walk by. One by one, they leaned over and they spit on the face of their Lord and Savior. Finally, it came time for a little girl. She approached the picture frame, but instead of leaning over it, she knelt down beside it. And with the hem of her dress, she began to wipe the spit off of the face of Jesus. And all the Christians froze in horror, waiting for the guns to fire the little girl to be killed. But to their amazement, the soldier smiled. And one soldier said, "We too are Christians. A few weeks ago, we were sent to a house church to break it up and to arrest the group of believers. But when we went there, instead of arresting them, we actually were converted to become followers of Jesus Christ ourselves. But we learned a very important lesson. Unless Christians are willing to die for their faith, they cannot be trusted." A quote says, "Where Bibles are plentiful and churches are protected, faith can become awfully shallow. Commitment can stay lukewarm." But that's not why Jesus died. And that's not the good news. And that's not the life that he called us to live. No. The terrifying good news of Easter Sunday is this. It's Easter. And not only is the tomb empty, but Jesus is alive. And if we are to follow him wholly and completely, it demands all we have to give. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Isn't that a glorious, frightening thought? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this day, we recognize the incredible good news to which you have called us to live, that is costly and demanding for each one of us. Lord, you gave your life so that we might live in abundance, but that abundance comes at a cost where we live our lives for you and give our lives back to you each and every day. Lord, as we seek to live for you, give us faith and courage that we might live a life that is pleasing to you and that we may roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty in service and in love for our fellow human being. Lead us and guide us in all of these ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.